Mindy and I are delighted to be back with you again. Delighted. It's been a long time. I'm honored that you would ask me to come and preach to you. It's a privilege to be here and worship with you. There's still some old familiar faces here. It's a little strange. There's some very familiar faces that are not here. And Brother Lindsay and Brother Don, of course, and Bob and Sally and Merle, and just many I remember well. But I'm delighted to see some faces I've never seen before. Make some acquaintances that I didn't know before. Glad to be here. Very glad. Very glad. I say old faces. We're getting older, aren't we? It's amazing. Amazing. Many of you ask about my mother. She'll be 98 years old in August. But she's sitting in the service right now listening to the gospel preach. And thankful for that. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23. David, who wrote this, was an old man when he wrote this. These are familiar words to most of you, I'm sure. These were his dying words, David's dying words. It begins, "These be the last words of David." If you thought you were dying, if you were certain that you didn't have very long to live, what would be your last words? What would you want your last words to be? Well, these are the last words of David, and I believe they're the last words of every believer. The last few years of my father's life, he was 92 or 3 when he passed away. And I remember the last few years of his life, every time I would go over there, I thought it might be the last time I would see him, you know. So I paid very close attention to the very last words that he uttered to me when I left. And we may not have that time to utter last words, to leave with those that we love, leave things that we would wish to say to them, but he didn't either. But I tell you what, we die like we live, though. We die like we live. If we live in the faith, we will die in the faith, as did he. I remember taking our granddaughters, to see their great-grandparents when they were real little. And I remember telling them to be sure and tell, they called my dad Baba and Mimi, be sure and tell them that you love them, because it might be the last time you see them. And we got in the car, and the youngest one, Sophie, it was silent. It was silent in the car. And the youngest one, Sophie, said, "Why did you say that, Papa?" I said, "Because it might be the last time you see them. They're getting old, and it just might be the last time." A little more silence. She said, "Well, what day, when do we die?" I said, "Well, I don't know, but the Lord knows that. But it might be soon. The Lord knows." Well, it's good advice, and I told them to be sure and tell them you love them. And good advice to all of us, isn't it? We don't know when the last time we'll see one another. And we ought to greet one another, and we ought to say goodbye to one another like it might be the last time, because it just might be. It just might be. But these are David's dying words. And if Christ is your life, you'll speak of him in life and in death. David was 70 years old. Now, Scripture says he was old and full of years. 70 doesn't seem too old anymore, does it? But, you know, people lived. He went through many battles, and they aged more rapidly back then. But he sums up his life in just a few words. And he sums up his salvation, his hope, in just a few words. And he sums up the hope and the life of every one of God's people in these few words. I believe you'll be able to enter into it. Brother John Chapman, I know you know him. He wisely said one time, he said, you know, you see the lifespan of someone behind their name. My father, 1926-2019. 1926-2019. John said, that dash, that's our life. That's how quickly it passes. And we spend our lives as a tale that is told. Psalm 90, which we ought to read constantly, speaks of the brevity of this life and how it's just a sleep. You wake up, you go to sleep at 16, you wake up, you're 76 or something. It really does go by that fast, doesn't it? David was 70 years old. Look at verse 1. These be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse. He's summing up his life here, and he says, I'm just David. Now, David was a king, wasn't it? David was a great man. David was beloved of our Lord. David was beloved of God's people. David was the leader of God's people. But when he talks about himself, he just says, I'm just David, the son of Jesse. I'm just another man, the son of a man named Jesse. Who was Jesse? Well, he was well known by Israel, but not everybody. He was just another man. I had two grandfathers named Jesse. I'm a son of Jesse. Do you know who Jesse Ferees is? No, you don't. That was my grandfather, my great-grandfather. Just another man. Just another son of Jesse, or a son of Adam. We're all just sons of Adam, aren't we? Nothing special. David doesn't call himself the king here. Summing up his life, he said, I'm just David, the son of a man named Jesse, the son of Adam. But, he said, I'm the man whom God raised up on high. A man whom God raised up, a man whom God foreknew, a man whom God loved, a man whom God chose, a man whom God predestinated, a man whom God called, a man whom God justified, a man whom God in sovereign love and mercy and grace chose and raised him up, raised him from death unto life, brought him out of darkness into light. Is that you? Just another son of Adam whom God quickened by his grace in Christ Jesus. That sums up our life, doesn't it? Nothing else matters if you are known by and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters, whether you're a king or a pauper, does it? Nothing else matters. One thing is needful. That's what David wrote in Psalm 27. One thing. David's last thoughts and words were where God found him. What he was and where God found him. A man whom God raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob. You remember the story of David when he was chosen to be king of Israel. You remember that story in 1 Samuel 16? David never got over that. He was a shepherd boy. He was only 16 or 17, we think. And he was out there watching his sheep. He was doing his job faithfully. I believe he knew the Lord at that time. But he was watching sheep faithfully out there on that hillside, and up comes a servant of Samuel. Or maybe one of his servants in the house, Jesse said. And said, Samuel the prophet is here and he's calling for you. He is. What's Samuel doing here? He's here to offer a sacrifice. But he's calling for you specifically. Samuel said to go get you. That we're not going to sit down until you come. And David thought, why is he calling me? So he left his sheep with a servant, and he went into his father's house, and everybody's standing there waiting on him. And Samuel comes walking up to David, that 17-year-old boy, and puts his hands on his shoulder and says, everybody rise. This is the next king of Israel. You reckon he ever got over that? What do you think was going through his mind? Me? Have you called me? What about your calling? You see your calling, brethren? I don't know where you were or what you were. I do know what you were when the Lord called you. Same as you are now, a sinner. Do you remember when the Lord first called you by his grace, by the gospel? Do you remember? Have you ever gotten over that? Me? He's calling me? I remember distinctly. Some people don't remember a day, and you don't need to, just as long as you were called. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Mine was right here in Danville, Kentucky, around 1977 or 8, something like that. My dad was preaching a meeting down here before this building was built. They were meeting in a schoolhouse somewhere. And I tagged along. The song leader, Ronnie Lewis and Marty Lewis, you remember them, and their son Terry were coming down here to the meeting, and they asked me if I'd want to go, and they told me we'll stop by. What was a famous steakhouse here? It used to eat steakhouse. Anyway, I wanted to go to the steakhouse. They said, "Will you go?" I said, "Sure, I'd love to, yeah." And as we went to the steakhouse before that and came here, came to the schoolhouse, and my dad was preaching. And now, he was just my dad all those years. Just my dad. That's my dad. He's a preacher. I sat and listened for years. Sat and listened for message after message after message. Well, that night, it wasn't my dad speaking. It was the Lord speaking to me through that man. That's how the Lord speaks. He speaks through me. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to say that. And he called me by that gospel that I remember distinctly. Broke my heart over my sin. And do you remember your call? Who, me? You calling me? The Lord called David. He called David. He was one of God's elect and all of God's people. His redeemed, his called. Never get over their calling. Do you see your calling, brethren? How not many wise men at the flesh, not many mighty are called, but God. Chosen the foolish thing, the weak thing. Abraham never got over his call. He was 75 years old. In idolatry, steeped in idolatry. What can you teach a 75-year-old? Can you teach a 75-year-old the gospel? Huh? Can you change a 75-year-old their theology? No, you can't. But God must, and God does. My wife's grandmother was around 75 years old. And the Lord taught her the gospel. She came to hear Henry Mahan at her son's request, and she came in there. She was from the First Christian Church, so-called. And she would sit there. Dad said she would sit there with her arms crossed like this, and she'd just do like this the whole time. And on the way home, she said, he just contradicts himself. That's all he does. He says, come to Christ, and he says, you can't come to Christ. He just contradicts himself. And she went like this. And then a few services later, she stopped. That stead stopped. And then a little while later, she's doing this. And then a little while later, he baptized her in that pool. Abraham never got over that. Jacob. What about Jacob? Jacob, cheat, supplanter. Cheated his brother, cheated his father and all that. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I. You reckon Jacob ever got over that? No, he didn't. That's what he said in Genesis 32. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercy, all the mercy and all the truth that you've shown me. All the grace. David, Saul of Tarsus, and steeped in religion. Any Sauls of Tarsus in here? Came out of religion? John Newton. John Newton, one of my favorite. He was about 80-something when he died. He said in his last days, he said, my memory is almost gone. He said, but I remember two things. I remember that I am a great sinner and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. That's all you need to know. He said, verse 1, David said, I'm the man God raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob. The anointed of the God of Jacob. Now, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. I know the God of Jacob, don't you? The electing God, the choosing God, the loving God that loves his people, keeps them. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. I know this God of Jacob. All that Jacob did and yet all that God did for him. I know the God of Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. For Jacob remembered when the Lord came and wrestled with him. Well, David said, I have been anointed by the God of Jacob, and all of God's people have too. He said in 1 John 2, he said, you have an unction from the Holy One. He said, the anointing which you have of him abideth in you. Now, what is that anointing? David is going to speak of Christ here. David is speaking of Christ. The anointing is the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and show them to you. Like David wrote in Psalm 133, he said it's like the precious ointment, this anointing of God, this salvation of God, the precious ointment that flowed from the head down to the beard, Aaron's beard, unto the robe of Aaron, to the skirts of his garment. And that's what God has done for all of his people through Christ our head. He's anointed us and given us this blessed gospel, the oil of gladness that came down through Christ our head. David said, I've been anointed. I've been anointed. Oh, and he called himself the sweet psalmist of Israel. He is, isn't it? Don't you love David? Don't you love the Psalms? All of God's people love the Psalm because, you know, David is a man after God's own heart. And I find him to be a man after my own heart too. He was a sinner saved by grace, and I can enter into what he wrote in the Psalms. All the things he went through, all of his own sins and all the trouble he went through in this life, I can enter into most everything he said. Can't you? Sweet psalmist of Israel. David said the word of God to him was sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. How about you? If it is, you've been called. Taste that the Lord is gracious. The word of God, the words of the prophets, the word of the preacher are sweet to our taste, aren't they? They were to David. They were to David. He said in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord spake through David. The Spirit of the Lord spake through the prophets. You know, I believe, and I'm sure, like Peter said, I'm sure that this book is the inspired, written word of God Almighty. Not the words of men, but the word of God. Do you believe that? Like Paul said, the way they call heresy, so I believe. I believe everything the prophets have written to be the word of God. Like Peter wrote, he said, holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. David's words were God's word. Isaiah's words were God's word. Do you believe that? I rest my soul on the words of this book as being, as in truth, the word of God. Don't you? These are not the words of man. You can't hang your soul, you can't hang your life on the words of man. All men are liars, but God, let God be true. David said, I esteem all thy word, all thy precepts to be right, and hate every other way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is God's word, implicitly believing? David rested his soul on the word of God. And what God spoke through David and all the prophets was the word of the living God, not the words of men. Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians that they received the word as it is in truth, the words of God, not men. So David said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue. His word was in my tongue. But now, who is David speaking of here? Huh? Who is David speaking of? In inspiration of the Holy Spirit? If a man's going to speak by the Spirit of God, if he's going to speak about the anointing, who's he going to speak of? The anointed means Christ, doesn't it? That's his very name. So David is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it again. Verse 1. David, the son of Jesse. Christ is called the son of David. Son of man. He calls himself the son of man over and over, doesn't he? All through the scriptures. Why? Because he was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Tempted and tried and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That gives me great comfort. God made his beloved son to be a man. A body hast thou prepared me, Christ said. And he came down here. The man whom God raised up on high. Oh, Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again and ascended. How high did he ascend? To the right hand of the majesty on high. The man whom God raised up on high. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Who wrote this psalm? David? Did David write this psalm? No, I just told you. It was God speaking through David. It was the Lord Jesus Christ whispering in David's ear. Write this. David didn't cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me in Genesis 22. But the Lord Jesus Christ told him to write that in inspiration of his coming, of what he would say and do on the cross. So David is speaking of Christ under inspiration of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. John wrote of Christ, he said, He hath the Spirit without measure, and the words that he speak are the words of God himself. He is God. Jesus Christ. His word was in my tongue. Jesus Christ is the word of God made manifest in the flesh. The God of Israel. Look at verse 3. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the God of Israel. He's the God of Israel. He's the rock of ages cleft for me. Look it up at the previous chapter. David wrote in verse 1, look at that, chapter 22. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies, out of the hand of Saul. He said, he begins, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Who is he speaking of? Who is David speaking of? Huh? Himself or another? Another. The Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. And he ends this psalm that way. He begins it that way. Look at verse 47 of chapter 22, Psalm 2 Samuel 22. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the rock, the God of the rock of my salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this rock? Are you standing on the rock? Huh? Speaking of dying words, you know, Brother Lindsay was such a faithful man here, a supporter of the gospel and a song leader for so many years, wasn't it? And we had a man who, just like him, Joe Parks was his name, Joseph Park. He was the man the Lord used to bring us to Rocky Mount. He was the first man I came to know and remember, and he was such an ardent supporter of the gospel and of us, inspiration to me and us. And he was 62 years old, and the Lord smote him with cancer, and he died in 30 days. It's the quickest progression of cancer I'd ever seen. And I went to see him. We were out of town on vacation, and I came back, and he was dying. And I walked in the door to see him, and I'll never forget. He greeted me, my beloved pastor, but as I was leaving, here's what he says. The last thing I remember him saying on earth, he was weak. He kind of raised himself up in that chair, that hospital inclined chair, and he hit the arm of the chair, and he said, if I go, or if I stay, it doesn't matter. He said, I'm standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. That's the last thing I heard him say. That's a good place to be. Is that you? Yeah. Whether you go or whether you stay. You need, the title of this message is Words to Live and Die By. Live standing on the rock Christ Jesus, and die standing on the rock Christ Jesus. That's a good place, only safe place to be. All other ground is seeking sand. Well, he said in verse 3, it's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He that ruleth over men, our God reigneth. The Lord Jesus Christ reigneth, doesn't he? Over the armies of heaven, among inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You like that? I love that, don't you? Say unto the heathen, say unto God's people, thy God reigneth. Jesus Christ said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Don't you love that? That nobody has any authority over anything, that Jesus Christ reigns and rules. Well, he that ruleth over men must be just. Oh, our Lord is just. Yeah, and righteous. Shall, when Abraham was pleading for Sodom, there were some people in Sodom that Abraham knew. One of them was his nephew, Lot, and his wife, and perhaps their children that Abraham knew and had a burden for them. And we live in Sodom, don't we? You have people you burden for? Well, when Abraham pleaded with the Lord to spare Sodom, the Lord, there wasn't 10 righteous there, was it? How many righteous were there? One. Lot. At any rate, when Abraham was pleading with the Lord to spare them, he finally just concluded with this. Well, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And he just left it right there, didn't he? He's just. Our God is just, isn't he? He said, I'm a just God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm a just God and a Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, our ruler, our Lord. He's just. He's righteous, isn't it? Oh, he's just. And we are justified by him, aren't we? Justified by his blood. Made righteous in him. Of God are we in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness. He is our righteousness, isn't it? Oh, he's just. He's righteous. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that your righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad? David said, I was glad. I'm so glad. This is the oil of gladness he sheds on God's people. That Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, is their righteousness. And he said in verse 4, he shall be as... Listen to this description of Jesus Christ. Listen to it. And when did David write this? Where was it? He was old, but where was he when he wrote it? Was he on his bed? No. Some things went by after that. Do you not find when you read the Psalms that most of them are cries for help and cries in time of sorrow? David talked about watering his couch with his tears, didn't he? He said, my soul waiteth for thee, Psalm 130, my soul waiteth for thee more than they that watch for the morning. David spent many a sleepless night over all the troubles he went through of his family and all that. Was this written after a night long of a night filled with sorrow and weeping? Was it? Perhaps. Many of the Psalms were written there. Well, look at what he said. It's like he woke up in the morning and the sun was shining after a long night. Sorrow. He says, this God of Israel, this rock of ages, my rock, my just God, my righteousness, he'll be as the light of the morning. When the sun riseth, a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear and shining rain. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like it's been storming all night long and you're sleepless and you're awake and finally you wake up in the morning and all the clouds are gone and the sun's coming up. Sun has a, naturally speaking, just has seemed to have a healing quality in it. Everything seems to be a little better when the sun comes up, doesn't it? No matter how dark the night, the sun comes up. Clear, shining, tender grass. Don't you love to smell the grass that you've just mown and the rain coming down on that grass? Don't you love it? Right now, isn't this one of the most beautiful times of the year? Well, this is all a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. David wrote this psalm. Look over there with me. This is the psalm of the king. And he's not talking about himself. And he's not talking about Solomon, his son. He's talking about Jesus Christ. In Psalm 72, look at this. This is wonderful. Look, you have it? Verse 1, give the king thy judgments, O God. God has given it all judgment unto the Son. And thy righteousness unto the king's son. That's where it is. It's in him. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, his. And thy poor with judgment. Blessed are the poor. The mountains shall bring peace to the people. Mount Zion, Mount Calvary. and the little hills, a hill called Golgotha, by righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll judge the poor of the people. He'll save the children of the needy. He'll break in pieces the oppressor, Satan, our adversary. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He, Christ, shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Read on. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Verse 12, he'll deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor, him that hath no helper. He'll spare the poor and needy, save the souls of the needy. He'll redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. David says he's like the light. He is. He's the light of the world. Like the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Oh, he's the rain, the blessed rain that came down from God upon us. And righteousness sprung out of the earth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? All right, now look at this. He sums up his hope. He sums up his salvation. In just one verse, all his hope, all his salvation, he sums up. And he begins this way, verse 5. He says, although my house be not so with God, although all in my house don't know my God, although everyone in my house that doesn't rejoice in the Lord my God, in the rock of my salvation, although all is not right with those in my house. Anyone? David, his life was full of trouble, like the Lord said would be of man. Man is born of woman is a few days. Full of trouble. Full of trouble. David's life was full of trouble. He had trouble within, trouble without, like us. He had trouble in the world. He had trouble in his house. Anybody? Everybody. All of God's people. He had trouble within his own heart and soul, with his own sins. And all the trouble around him, vexed with the conversation of the wicked, like righteous Lot. He had troubles that people caused him, and he had trouble that he caused people. Troubles with his enemies, troubles with his friends. Troubles in his family, troubles in his marriage. David was married to an unbeliever, Michael. She despised his God. She despised his religion. Anybody in here married to an unbeliever? That's got to be one of the most difficult trials that a believer would go through. David's wife, Michael, he loved. He did not love his Lord. David had trouble with his children. Many of his children were lost. Many of his children didn't know the Lord. Anybody? And he lost several of those children. They literally died before he did. The infant that he and Bathsheba had died. He stayed awake all night praying for that child. Absalom was not only lost, but Absalom died in a terrible way. And David grieved greatly for Absalom. Absalom, Absalom, my son. Anybody? Amnon, the son, died at the hands of Absalom. Tamar was brutalized by her brother. Trouble. Anybody got troubles in your house? Did he write this after all night long worrying about one of those children? Did he? Perhaps. But here's what he said. Although it be not so with my house. Yet, look at this. Yet, but God. Yet God hath made with me. Made concerning me an everlasting covenant. God hath made concerning me an everlasting covenant. God hath chosen me, called me by his grace, brought me to Christ, given me to Christ before the world began, put me and all that is about me in the hands of my Lord Jesus Christ. God put me in the hands of my Redeemer, my covenant head, the second Adam from above, my Redeemer, my Messiah, the Christ, put me in his hands. And David thought, I've been in good hands. He put me in his covenant in Christ, and he ordered all things. He said, everything about me has been ordered in all things and sure and certain to come to pass. Like Paul wrote, all things work together for good. Those who love God are called according to his purpose. David knew that long before Paul wrote that God put his name in the Lamb's book of life, gave him to the Lord Jesus Christ, his covenant head. Everything about him was ordered in all things and for his good and for his salvation. Even the evil, what he thought was evil. That's why Moses wrote there in Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you. It may seem evil, but it's not. It's for our good. David knew that. He said, although it be not so with my house, although it seems like I've got nothing but trouble in my house, yet God hath made with me, concerning me. This is my hope. This is my peace. This is my comfort in all my troubles and trials, that God hath made concerning me an everlasting covenant. Ordered, that everything about me has been ordered before I was born, and it is sure, it will surely come to pass, surely work together for my eternal salvation. He said, this is all my salvation. Is that all you got to say, David? That's all I got to say. It's all my salvation. What he's saying is Christ is all. He's all my hope. Oh, my plan. How about you? How about you? Is that what you say? Like John Newton, my memory's about gone, but I remember two things. I'm a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is my great Savior. Let me tell you some more dying words. You'll love this. Dear lady in our church, she was there before we got there. Ellen Fralin, her name. Faithful. Lord saved her later on years. But anyway, Lord gave her Alzheimer's. And again, it was one of the most rapid onsets of that disease or whatever that I've ever seen. She was gone in just 30 or 60 days, wasn't she, ma'am? It was just quick. But one Sunday morning, she was staying in turn to Habakkuk with me, Habakkuk 3, and I'll close with this. She was staying in a nursing home, and we went to see her. And I walked in, and her memory was gone. Mindy and I and Joe and Nancy Parker. I walked in, and I said, hello, Helen, good to see you. Sunday morning after service. She said, how are you? She didn't recognize me. I said, I'm fine. I said, I'm Paul. Paul Mahan, your pastor. She said, oh, how is he? Well, he's fine. And I said, Helen, so we just came back from worship. I said, Helen, now she didn't know her children. She didn't know me. She didn't know anybody. I said, Helen, we just came back from the worship service, and I preached the gospel this morning. I said, Helen, what is the gospel? She said, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, what else do you need to know? Nothing. Nothing. Because Christ is all. Although it be not so in my hand. This is a closing prayer, a song written by Habakkuk, written by our Lord through Habakkuk. You know these words, verse 17, Habakkuk 3, although the fig tree, although he make it not to grow, David said, although the kingdom seems to be diminishing, although my house seems to be diminishing, although some people have gone, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, fields yield no meat, flock be cut off from the fold, no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord God, in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places with him in glory. Now he says to the chief singer, let's start singing. We got much to sing about. He wrote that. That was a psalm. And so was David's last word, a psalm. Is this your hope? Is Christ your hope? Is he all your salvation? Is he your rock? Is he your God of your salvation? Your righteousness? In him you stand? I hope so. I believe it is. I look into the faces of some people that are listening with recognition and joy. May the Lord bless that for his glory and your good. Amen.